Anytime you see the Bulls, and we talked about this even for the last couple of years.
25 plus number.
Anytime the Bulls get 25 plus assists, they are in the game or they're going to win that basketball game.
So at the timeline, Giannis, he lost the ball. It squirts off his left hand. 3-on-2 for the Bulls. Kobe from downtown. Right side three. Got it. Bam, bam. Kobe White with 5 threes. He's got 29.
That was one of the 21 made threes. You heard me right. The Chicago Bulls attempted 47 threes, made 21 of them, and they tallied 30 assists and 9 turnovers. If they could do that every game, they're going to screw up their draft standing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what's going to happen if they do that every game. Kendall Gill is with us now on the score here at our concourse broadcast position. He's on Twitter at KendallG13, Bulls pregame, postgame show analyst on Chicago Sports Network. That was the recipe, right?
It was. Yeah, I mean, the Bulls are trying to play faster this year. During the preseason, they were number one in pace, second in the league in three-point shooting. And I think they tried that the first night against the New Orleans Pelicans, but they just didn't get it right until they got to Milwaukee. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to Kobe White being put back on the basketball in the second quarter. He was able to handle it and get into his rhythm. And, you know, when Kobe started going, everybody else started following, along with Zach LaVine playing. And I know it's only been two games, but Zach LaVine continuing to play at an all-star level.
We have seen a little bit of inside-outside game when it comes to this. I know, yeah. Dan has talked a lot about not having as much mid-range. You know he loves a three. But we did even see a little bit of Zach take on some DeMar DeRozan shot profile last night, I thought, in a game where the threes were number one. But the varied shooting still happened.
Yeah, Zach, about 3 years ago, Zach told me that they exclusively wanted him to take either a three-point shot or a layup. But then when Billy came aboard, Billy said, listen, I still want you to mix up your mid-range game in, too. And then that's what you saw in Zach last night. That's what you've seen him do all throughout the preseason. You noticed last night he even took guys to the post and turned around and shot the basketball and got us a couple buckets that way. So, you know, I'm very happy with the way that Zach is looking. He looks like he's the all-star Zach from before. And I love the free flow of the offense that we saw last night. You know, and all due respect to DeMar, he was great for our franchise. I actually DM'd him and told him I wish you could have finished here as a Bull, but, you know, we know that wasn't possible at the time. But you guys notice the ball doesn't stick. Everybody is moving the basketball, you know, and everybody is getting a touch.
And Dan is maybe more grateful than all of
yeah,
us.
Dan is,
that,
yeah,
for that particular fact.
Three years, this is all I wanted.
And it's fine now because he has what he wants. My question is about Kobe White because we saw the big step forward that he took last season, nearly winning Most Improved Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Now looking at this year, what is his ceiling and what do you want to see from him this season?
I think he can be an all-star. You know, I thought we talked about him being an all-star last year, possibly sneaking in with the coach's selection. That didn't happen, but his strong finish really indicated that he was on that level, you know. And, you know, I was disappointed that he didn't get Most Improved Player because I felt like he deserved it. Maxey had a great year, but I don't think his improvement was that of Kobe's. But Kobe showed, you know, last night, hey, listen, I can drop 35 on you anytime I get ready. You know, but I think in order for him to do that and continue his escalation as one of the top players in this league is that he's got to be able to handle the basketball because that's how he gets in rhythm. You know, and I know that Josh Giddey now is the point guard. Had 9 assists, played a great game last night. But in the second quarter, you just saw Kobe get into his rhythm by going back to his old position.
When you say something like Kobe, we want to see him as an all-star, that's so correlated with winning, though. It seems like it's going to be tricky just from that standpoint because they don't want to give you the credit unless your team is winning just because of the number of teams and number of star players in the league now.
Yeah, you know, listen, I experienced that a couple times during my career where I felt like I should have made the all-star team, but because we did not win, you know, I just didn't get the selection. And, you know, I think that Kobe fell victim to that last year as well. But, you know, I was telling everybody, look, a lot of people saying, "Well, we're going for a draft pick." I was like, "This team is too good." You know, the players are just too good in order for us to be like out of at least the play-in.
The mix, right? Because that's what I've been trying to tell everyone is, hey, you think you want to be bad, but now with the play-in, you just have to be not one of the worst five teams in the conference to be in the mix.
Right.
And that's hard to do unless you really get rid of everybody that's good.
Exactly. And you saw that last night with the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, you go up against Giannis Antetokounmpo, Dame Lillard, and, you know, they brought in some guys, Bobby Portis, who's always been a Bulls killer ever since he left us. Milwaukee is a team that could vie for an Eastern Conference final spot. And the Bulls went in there, and they handled them pretty well.
I was surprised to see them match up as well as they did against Milwaukee. Again, this time without Alex Caruso. That was surprising because I knew that they had matched up well with Caruso in that mix. But this year, to see that was impressive.
It was very impressive. And, you know, I think that Patrick Williams, even though Giannis had 38 points last night, it was a hard 38. He had to earn each and every one of those buckets. A big reason is because of P. Will. And you know, I think that, you know, possibly P. Will, hopefully – you know, and I was told this a long time ago, even when I was in high school, your offense comes from your defense. And when you play defense first, you totally forget about being on the offensive end. And that's when you start to really blossom on the offensive end. I saw that last night with P. Will. He had two key buckets when we needed him. He had a three, and he knocked down a two because he was aggressive. And, you know, hopefully he can continue that development because we need P. Will in order if we're going to have a successful year.
To have him guard a five is different than having him guard Giannis because we know that Giannis is going to face up and Giannis is going to be end-to-end, not just sort of foul line to foul line. But there are going to be nights with this roster where he's going to be the only big on the floor.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he physically is prepared for what that's going to mean with that kind of duty, with just the size of guys he's going to be handling.
As long as we're not playing Jokic, as long as we're not playing Embiid, guys of that ilk, I think he'll be fine. You know, it's just, you know, you notice Lopez last night was out on the perimeter at the three-point arc most of the night. You know, so that's the way that the NBA has gone.
Because he still guards the basket, though.
He still guards the basket, but P. Will doesn't have to guard him down there in
the
post. And they don't ever – Milwaukee never throws the ball to Lopez down on the post. As long as we run into centers like that, then he'll be fine. It's just that when you get to the Jokic's and the MB's, that's when Patrick will have a problem because he's just outsized.
But there aren't that many bigs that are of that ilk. So
it's a
problem you can avoid most of the time.
Exactly. And that's why I think that you can play small ball with P. Will at the five sometimes. And it will be to our advantage because now you can iso their big man and get past him. I mean, you look at the way that Chet Holmgren played the other day against
Mike,
the Denver Nuggets.
Good luck with that. That's a problem.
He's a problem, okay?
That's a problem, man.
Now, did you see the way that he was just taking the ball against Jokic and going anywhere he wanted to go to? That's what P. Will needs to do when he gets a matchup like that.
I just want Patrick Williams to understand that any rebound can be his.
Anyone.
Any rebound can be his with the size of his hands, with his athletic ability, the size of his shoulders, his length. For him in that first game to have one defensive rebound, I hate looking at the stat sheet. Just be like, come on, man.
Yeah.
In those minutes, he should easily average 8 rebounds a game.
No, I believe so, too. I believe he has a wealth of talent. And as you said, all of the physical intangibles are there. You know, I wish he would be like the guy he was about two seasons ago, the last game against Minnesota Timberwolves.
He had 36 points, didn't he?
But you know what? He decided, I'm the best player on the floor.
And he was.
Physically, nobody can touch me. So I'm going to go ahead and take it upon myself to dominate. Now, when he makes his mind up like to be like that each and every night, the sky's the limit for him, you know. So he just has to decide he wants to do it.
Kendall, one of the things I do love about this offense and the way it's being run, it's only been two games, I know.
Yeah.
But I was telling them earlier, it seems like anybody can get it on any given night.
Yeah, yeah.
And that ball really does move to a point where watching last night's game, there was no hesitation from anyone on the floor. There was no deferring. There was, if I have a look, I'm taking the shot.
Yeah, and that's what Billy has instilled, because our pace needed to get faster. You look at the Boston Celtics, they almost set a record. Well, they tied the NBA record the first night.
And they tried to beat it. They tried to beat it. 13 in a row, they couldn't break it.
Yeah, they tried to beat it, but, I mean, that's the way the NBA is now. You have to keep up with the rest of the guys, you know, and with the rest of the teams, rather. And I think that we saw that last night in the game against Milwaukee, because I love the way that Smith was able to pull up on the three-point line anytime that he wanted to. Modest, when he came in, he was looking at the
rim.
And
Booch was pulling.
Booch was pulling as well, you know. So, you know, I think that this is – and it's a fun game to watch when it's like this, you know, because I was really, you know
– locked in.
You know, I was really locked in. Sometimes, you know, I'm looking at my iPad checking out other games. But last night I was really locked in, enjoyed the game, and hopefully they can play like that again.
We will not tell you the Illini football score. It is not important right now.
I saw it was 35-3 last time
half,
I checked.
Something around that. But we won't discuss
it. Hey, listen, you know what? I don't care about Oregon. We beat Michigan last week.
That was a big win.
That was a big win. So that's all I'm concerned about.
I did want to ask you what you thought about how the second teamers and the bench is fitting together. We're trying to figure out how many people are going to be in this rotation. What do you think?
Yeah, well, Billy has stated that, you know, this team should not have guys in there more than 8 or 9 minutes, because they played so hard, they need a blow, you know. And there's my former teammate Michael Cage right there.
Oh my God, Michael Cage!
Michael Cage, the one and only, one of the best teammates I've ever had.
Hi, we're a radio show here in town.
I had to recognize him. That's my guy.
Hi,
Michael, big fan.
Welcome in.
All right, I'll be down, Mike, and take you. So, Michael was my teammate.
That's a bad man right there.
Michael was my teammate in Seattle. Michael was my teammate with the New Jersey Nets, one of the best teammates I ever had. But going back to the question that you asked, Layla, I think he's going to have to play Io off of the bench. I think everybody's going to get playing time. You saw Mattis come in early in the first half yesterday, and because they're going to be playing so hard and at such a high rate, that everybody's going to get playing time.
Well, and I think you pointed this out on the halftime show last night on CHSN, but just the fact that they went back to him, you know, and they did it early. Like, hey, you had a rough first game, but it's okay. Come back out there and try to get it together immediately and get you the touches you need.
Right, and that's when you have a player's coach, okay? When you have when a coach is like that, say, listen, I'm going to take you out, but I'm coming right back to you, because you know your role, you know what's going to happen. That's when it's fun to play basketball, and that's what I think you saw last night. Those guys were having a lot of fun.
Yeah, it seems like a hockey line change. It's going to be a little bit different tonight from last night, just because Lonzo Ball will be available. How do you see him fitting in, whether it's short-term, long-term, the plan for him to be a part of that kind of hockey line change mix?
Listen, it's amazing that they had a game like that last night, and Lonzo wasn't involved, okay? But we were looking at Michael Cage's old picture right there. Okay?
I had to call him. It's a different era. Yeah, just so you can appreciate.
That's a different era of basketball and a different era of everything.
Totally I saw him walk by, but like that, he rocked that like no one else.
Like no one else
like
did
like
in
no
NBA
one
history.
Else.
You're absolutely right.
Is it true what Sadale Threet said when they were working out in the pool?
I never heard the story.
Apparently, and they were all working. So it was like running in the pool. Uh-huh. They were using it therapeutically, and Cage gets in, and Sadale Threet says something about like calling the EPA for an oil slick.
I don't know whether that story is true.
I heard it was.
But you just saw how big Michael Cage is. He's still in shape. I'm not going to say yes, it was true.
No, he beat out. Or actually, I want to say Charles Oakley grabbed a late rebound in the last game of the season, won him 85-86 to win the rebounding title. Like, and people were watching it like a batting title.
Yeah.
It was coming down to the end between the two of them.
No, it was. I remember that. But Michael Cage, man, what a man. So getting back to Lonzo, I think that Lonzo, I didn't expect him to be the Lonzo that he was prior to the knee injury. But
right.
Everything
and
that he's
no
shown,
one does. Yeah.
Yeah, everything that he's shown, he's right back at where he used to be. Well, I know he can't go back to backs right now, but eventually, hopefully, he can. But listen, playing with him is like playing with a top level quarterback, playing like with Mahomes or somebody of that type of stardom, you know, because he throws you open. You know, if I'm going to use a football analogy, whenever Lonzo throws that basketball to you, look at the first game when he just made eye contact with Zach LaVine and threw him the alley-oop. I mean, that's what type of point guard he is, and I think he's going to fit in great with this team. Hopefully he comes out tonight and is able to just fit right in with the way that the guys played last night. I love Lonzo Ball.
I think we all want to see him be the best version of himself just because of the sheer work that he has put in to get to this point. I also want to note this. They end up with 30 assists last night, the Bulls. And you talked a lot, especially last season, about the importance of how passing helps them, not just in general, but how it shows you how much they want to work together. What did you see last night?
Well, Layla, we've done this. We did a couple of the shows last year as well. Anytime the Bulls get 25 to 30-plus assists a night, they're either going to lose that game by a couple points, or they're going to win it, one or the other. And last night, had 31 assists, and I thought that they moved the ball beautifully. That's the key to the Bulls: share the basketball, get up and down the court, move, play at a high pace. If they can do that, they're going to be in most basketball games.
Kendall, this was a treat. I know you
sure
got to get to your regular job. Thanks so much for hanging out with us for a little bit.
All right, thank you.
That is Kendall Gill. Next up, Bulls Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, Arturis Karnišovas, is going to join us here on the concourse at United Center. So don't go anywhere. A special edition of Bernstein and Harris with Layla Rahimi here on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to a special edition of the Bernstein and Harris Show with Layla Rahimi, live from the United Center on The Score.
Don't sweat the technique, indeed. Arturis Karnišovas joins us now. The Bulls Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations is with the Bernstein and Harris Show and Layla Rahimi here in the concourse at United Center. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So that win last night we've been talking about, that's the recipe, right? It's spread it out, take enough threes, make enough threes, and take care of the basketball.
Yes, we obviously loved the effort yesterday, and today's another game, so we'll try to replicate that tonight.
I think for us, the joy in watching it was just seeing the entire concept realized. Mm-hmm. You've worked on a lot of teams where the stress of getting down the court in 5 seconds, 7 seconds, taking the early shots is something that I know is important. You see it realized last night in a way that was successful from beginning to end in that game.
Well, we obviously talked about it in preseason and before the season started that we're going to try to play fast and we're going to try to shoot more threes, and you know, one thing is to talk about it and the other one is implementing it. In preseason we led the league in pace, we led the league in fast break points, and we try to see if it's going to translate into a regular season. Yesterday was a good example of how we want to play, and hopefully we can continue at this pace. It's going to be obviously harder tonight because it's a third game in four nights.
You've got another player that didn't play last night in Lonzo Ball that's going to suit up. Just how pleased are you with how far he's come, considering what the previous medical history was with that injury and those types of surgeries, and getting him back on, even if you can't play back-to-backs, and how he's looked through one regular season game and through the preseason as well?
Yeah, I'm very happy for him. He's unbelievable, obviously, player and a person. Great teammate. So to have him go through this training camp and be available for a regular season, it's a great addition for us. And he played obviously in the first game, and he's going to play tonight. And you know, they kind of – he's playing the same brand of basketball that we played last night. So it's going to be interesting to see that we can continue have him a little bit fresher than everybody else tonight so that we can continue high pace.
In a high-paced five-out kind of set – how does that translate on the defensive end when we knew that when you had Caruso, when you had Lonzo at the peak of his powers, you could use the ball screen defense as sort of the tip of the spear? Now, without the same kind of perimeter defenders and without a true rim protector waiting back there, what is the strength of the defense as you envision it?
Well, the defense is a work in progress for us. You know, I'm really not worried about offense right now because I think the guys have got a hang of it. Defense is the one that we, like, even like yesterday, we gave up 122 points. That's a lot of points. However, there's a lot of possessions as well. As long as we don't turn the ball over 21 times like we did in the first game. So, yeah, when you spot a team 30 points off the turnovers, that's very hard to compete. So, again, there's a lot of things we still trying to iron out, and especially defensively, so it's still working.
I just wonder, is it going to be help and recover? Is it going to be icing, pick and roll, you know, multiple helps and recoveries?
It's like Billy said, it's going to be by committee, right? So it's going to be helping each other. And the first game is like we just left guys on the island one-on-one too much, and we're going to have to help each other and, you know. Once the missed shots, we're going to try to run, and we're going to keep on coming. You know, would that be third quarter or fourth quarter? It was interesting to see last night that, you know, with 5 minutes, you know, to go, we start a little bit slow down, but we got to continue the same pace and take the same shots that got us that lead.
I know we are always looking at turnovers. That doesn't change. But one thing that was encouraging from last night in particular was seeing the combination of Kobe and Zach together and still that turnover number being relatively low. I think it speaks to not only Kobe's progress, which we've seen, but also how they're going to work together this season.
Yes, and it was obviously unbelievable to see Zach in, you know, great shape, is 100% healthy and playing well and making shots, and Kobe had such a good night last night. You know, we just want to see, you know, continuity from last night. It's hard schedule to start the season, but you know, we got to get through it, and we're going to do it together.
We're seeing a lot of the younger players being given the opportunity in the way this is looked up with the DMPs, with some of the veterans that you've added to the team over the last couple of years. What's the advantage there of getting these young guys this run, especially straight out of the gate?
Well, it's going to be hard to play 15 players, right? So, and rotation, usually in NBA, they use 9. We're going to have to, at this pace, we're going to have to use at least 10. So some nights will be 10, some nights will be 11, but you know, the message to everyone on the bench is to be ready to play. You know, when Zoe is not playing back-to-backs, there's going to be opportunities for other guards. And, yeah, just to be ready to come in and contribute.
I want to talk a little bigger picture, especially looking at the opponent tonight and what Oklahoma City has done. It was from when Billy Donovan was there to remake this team in a completely different image. They just kept adding picks, and they're still adding picks, and it still seems like they have all the picks. When you start looking at your plan, I've always been curious, do you value second rounders, or are most of your deals going to be first rounder or bust?
I think I value both. However, you know, we're going to see what this team can do, and hopefully we can progress with this young core and, you know, in Kobe and Io and Patrick and adding Mathis and, you know, Dalen and Julian. All those guys are pretty young and they're still trying to learn how to play together. So, yes, today's opponent is a really good one. Obviously, they were first in the West last year. They have a lot of young guys that they also play at the high pace. We saw what they did in the first game against Denver, in Denver. So it's going to be a very difficult matchup for us, and hopefully guys can continue competing, and especially at home for the first time.
We saw a little progress out of Matas even in the last game, just rebounding from the previous game before. What have you seen out of his growth so far? I know it's a small sample size in two games, but also just from when he became a member of this organization.
No, it's going to be a lot of things for him to learn, and at a very fast pace. He had a very good preseason training camp, but it's very high pace, a lot of things, from defensive schemes to offensive stuff flying at him. It's going to be learning process for him. He just has to be ready to play and contribute and learn every game. Depends on how many minutes he gets. We get 5, 10, 15, we'll see.
I know he has some things you can't teach. There is a... There's a sense of nasty in there. There is... You can see his motor can run real hot, and I like that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of things, a lot of times it translates from Summer League, but he was definitely competing there and had a very good summer league. He has great work ethic. He wants to learn, is really good in asking questions, our veterans. And we'll see how he can contribute in those minutes that he's there. So, and just has to listen to Billy, and Billy's going to help him grow.
How are you balancing your expectations for this season, whether you want to call it I don't know if you're terming it internally as a rebuild, a retool, mm-hmm. and understanding that there's guys who are not as young as the guys you had mentioned before that could be moved at some point this season, but you're trying to get the younger players. How do you see this season to the fullest developing and you calling it a success?
I think we agree with Billy. We sat down before the season and we talked about to have an identity and the style of play that we're trying to play now is something that how we want to play moving forward. We'll see if that continues. Regardless of turnovers, we're going to continue playing the style until guys feel really comfortable playing. I would like to establish home court advantage. It's been really hard for our guys to play in this building. I'm not sure why, but we have to, create home court advantage here, and we have to win a lot more games than we did in the past. Last year, we also had a losing record here, so which is obviously not acceptable in front of these great fans. So a couple things in our mind, but we trying to style of play identity, would be a priority for us this year.
That style of play, has it been made easier with DeMar DeRozan not on the team and just where he operates compared to how you want to play now? You've got five guys who are not only able but willing to just fire away those threes.
Well, regardless, obviously with DeMar gone, now we have to find, how we're going to play last 5 minutes and how we're going to finish games, right? But before the season, we just – established the style of play that we're going to, do. And we were second, I think, in preseason in three-point attempts. Yeah. And yesterday we had 47. So I think that's a pretty good pace, and we like to see it. In terms of wins and losses, I don't know what it's going to look like at the end. But these guys are so far enjoying each other and, looking at the bench last night, everybody's happy for each other, and hopefully we can continue tonight.
Arturas, a giant of rock and roll passed away recently, mm-hmm. who I know was close to your heart, in Grateful Dead bassist and founding member Phil Lesh. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Well, I was just told, I didn't know, and I think on your radio show in September I said that they tried to bring our team, 1992 team, to one of their last concerts in San Francisco. That didn't pan out. I'm obviously disappointed. But it's sad news, but great memories of, Grateful Dead involvement in, our past.
I also just want to go back to, now that we've seen Lonzo Ball in a real game, a real NBA regular season game, mm-hmm. all that it went into that, what did you observe about his process and his outlook during this time back, which I think could have been devastating to so many other people?
Well, just watching him in, you know, in training camp, even when Zoe is probably 70% or 80% what he was, There's basketball IQ there. There's that feel that it brings, that calmness that he feel, you know, brings to, you know, to the court. There were moments then that we watch scrimmage and it would be, you know, Kobe making a three and Zach runs and gets a dunk and then Lonzo leads the break and, you know, throws a lob to Mathis, you know, and I kind of, it's kind of, in a way, it's kind of sad for me to see that the last couple of years he was not able to do those things, but I'm happy to see him back, and hopefully that continues all season long.
This is terrific. Thank you for taking the time to join us, Arturis.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.
That is Arturis Karnišovas, the Bulls Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. So we have plenty more to come and plenty to discuss. The doors are open at United Center, and you will be seeing red as the T-shirts have been distributed for all to done tonight. And we've got plenty more to come. Jamal Collier is going to join us a little bit. Randy Brown is going to sit down. Apparently there's another wave of food that is headed in our direction. I don't even know what to
expect. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Yeah, you're doing work over there.
Yeah.
I admire it. Okay.
Can't let it go to waste.
You're sure there's nothing in that drink now? You're sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. All right. Plenty more to come here in our special edition of Bernstein and Harris on The Score.
You're listening to a special edition of the Bernstein and Harris Show with Layla Rahimi, live from the United Center on The Score.
There's a little Phil Lesh on bass for you, the Grateful Dead founding member, the bassist who passed away just a few days ago at the age of 84. And you know that there is that history between the Lithuanian basketball program and the Grateful Dead, who just sort of adopted them as their own at a time when they needed the resources.
At some point, we got to do just music talk with Arturis, because you know he's big into that. He's big into EDM. I think the last time I was on with you guys when he did the midday show, I made sure that they played, that Studs played Split by the Chainsmokers, because that was like a really good EDM song, and immediately he knew. Like, at some point, we have to talk to him about, you know, the really important stuff.
I'm not conversant in EDM.
I don't know a ton of it, but I will Shazam it when I hear it.
You know enough.
Yeah, Saturday Layla knows some EDM. Yes.
Okay, but isn't that like with ecstasy and a binky and, like, you know?
You do not have to have the ecstasy.
I just like to dance, so okay. That's all I really need. Like, I don't need all the other stuff. Also, what year is that?
I don't know.
Let Dan live.
Trying to figure it out. So, meanwhile, the other day, Beth comes home and she's like, can you rub my neck? I think I did something. I'm like, where? Like here, like a trapeze. She goes, yeah, I think I pulled a muscle in my neck. And I said, how did you? What happened? She goes, I did it at SoulCycle. Like, what do you mean?
Going too hard at SoulCycle.
She said headbanging.
Yeah.
I'm like, headbanging? And she goes, yeah, you know, you get into it and you start riding the bike. And I said, well, what were you listening to? And she said, I'm not telling you. I said, well, you got to tell me.
What was it?
It was Harry Styles. Like, you injured yourself?
Yeah, I wouldn't have told that
you
either.
You injured yourself headbanging to Harry Styles?
Then again, I wouldn't have injured
myself. There's no judgment here. Jason.
Oh, there's plenty of judgment
Jason,
here.
Jason, would you like
Jason
any
Goff,
food? Jason Goff is here. He brought the turtleneck and
Hello.
The blazer.
Mm, big hugs from Jason
The outfit
Goff.
Is elite?
Yeah, that says fall.
Why didn't Michael
says,
Cage give me
it's
a hug.
It's autumnal, is what it is.
Why is it?
Come join.
Okay, yeah, sit down, Jason Goff.
We love you, Jason. Hey, good job on the pre- and post-game show last night.
Well, you know.
I get the network, and I'm happy to see it. And
I get the network.
I get it
got
also
antennas?
By antenna.
Yes. Yeah.
I got DirecTV. I have had no interruptions with anything. Everything's just been smooth as silk.
Would you like any food?
No.
We got honey butter fried chicken. We got the fries. You guys got the food drop, too,
so
right?
So this offseason has been a little challenging.
How so?
I'm going to have to push myself away from certain things.
Oh,
I was going to say, life-wise, you're off season.
Yeah, my lady,
elite.
My lady is pregnant, and I've been eating everything that she's been eating. It's a problem.
Congratulations,
give me two Polish.
It's a group. It's a group project, right? It's a group project.
Yo, Dan, I'm telling you, Marshall, Layla, I hit a new low the other day.
What was the low?
I hit a drive-through, and the order wasn't, quality control wasn't right. Hit the same franchise 20 minutes later on the ride.
Are you serious?
You already know? Kidding me?
That's when you know.
These the nuggets you pushing out? Like, what are we doing here?
That's amazing.
We're having dinner in an hour. That's a level.
That is elite stuff.
Yeah.
I'll drop it quick.
I mean, you lit up the Sears Tower for your gender reveal. Are we going to talk about this?
Well, I had very important people who like me and who take care of me. And I haven't asked for a whole bunch, right? So, cash in a favor. The problem is now, when she comes here, what's going to be the first birthday? You know what I mean? It's like
you're setting the bar high.
Herb Lawrence had a rule back in the day, no child. What Herb used to say, no child under 10 should ever be courtside. Because after that, where do you go
from
there?
What do you do?
Yeah, Jason's on a Jumbotron for his birthday. And a couple of days ago, he goes, hey, are we going to go to a Bulls game? I'm like, yeah, we got tickets, man. Let's go. And he tells me, are we going to be in the place with the snacks? And the seat in the refrigerators.
Sweet.
He knows what it is. Once you introduce it, they're not going back.
I hadn't been in the suite until I was 23 years old.
I'm not going back. But isn't that the goal to do for your – what you didn't have to
do? Hell no. Wait a minute. What? No. That's
it. Yes. The answer is yes.
Listen. No, that's what Dan Bernstein told me the other day.
Hey, trial by fire, right?
Really,
come on, man. I do a lot for him, but, sweet tickets and all that other stuff. Get a job.
I told you this. That
get a job. How old is he?
He's going to be 8 in December. We Belizean, bro. He's supposed to have 2 by now.
Job. I remember taking Jason to a baseball game. I took him to a baseball game, and he goes, when do I get my ball? Like, what? He's like, well, the last 3 games, I got a ball.
Ridiculous.
I went my whole life without getting a ball. And he said, when do I get my ball?
I'm tired. I'm tired of it. And then he wakes up every – this is the other thing with the gaining weight part. He walks around the house now with his shirt off. The kid's got an 8-pack. He's in gymnastics for the last 2 years.
Oh, so he earned that.
At some point, I told him, you're going to be coming to catch you slipping.
People.
You're walking around, my lady's in there. I'm not going to – we're going to have to set some dominance in this household. You know what I mean? You're going to catch me on one of these true crime documentaries. Got dad about the way. You know what I mean? Nah. So I'm on him. I'm on him every morning.
People underestimate that gymnastic strength.
What? He does 50 push-ups every morning before he brushes his teeth.
He's how old?
He's going to be 8.
Jeez.
Does he look like – remember Rock Raines' kid who ended up in the major league?
No.
And his kid would be in the dugout. And
swole.
Yes.
Cut up.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Jace, he was 8 years old.
Jace got definition. He got the 6-pack. I'm rocking the keg. We're doing what we got to do out here.
Do you feel like he is exerting himself in every way right now? Is that what it is?
Is he fulfilling his potential?
Yeah.
He's a golf, but there's some refinement that's necessary. By his age, I was figuring out what I want to do. I asked him the other day, what do you want to do? He goes, I want to be a gymnast, and if not, I'll be a marine biologist. I'm like, well, we got to figure something
that's
out.
That's a good cross.
We got to figure a way out.
Yeah.
You can either be, Frederick Richard, my man from University of Michigan that was on the Olympic team?
Oh,
Yeah. That's his guy. He wants to go to Michigan. It's a whole lot going on, man.
He's got a lot of plans made already. He's about his business.
You got to plan early in this house.
Fair.
We got to figure it out. We got to allocate funds to certain things.
The pressure beating
Don't wait on that.
Kid,
no, not at all.
You
put me on that early.
Yeah.
You put me on that early. Shout out to the Bernstein parental advice. It's the only advice from you I've ever taken.
529 at the moment.
Twice.
You get that Social Security number.
Bright start, all them good things. Yeah. Yep. He's got a high-yielding annuity. He's getting $100 per tooth from my dad. So he's just popping teeth out now like a little crackhead. It's crazy.
He's living a good life.
Yeah. You just see him just yanking teeth out like, hey, that one's not supposed to go yet.
$2.
Right. That's your molar. That you might need that, my guy.
Right. Don't pull your tongue out. You don't get anything for
this
that.
This is a $5 tooth.
Right.
Let's go.
That's my man. It's good to see you guys, though.
Yeah.
Great to see you.
You gave me $100 per tooth. I might just yank one.
Yeah. What? Kidding me?
I also do want to shout out the postgame show. We all get the channel, and I think you and Kendall did not lose a beat. You know that. It's been really fun to watch. And it's been nice to see you guys riff on the game in the way that we know that you do.
Yeah, I mean, KG is a dude who I not only have learned basketball from, but, you know, we talk about life. So when we get on the set, it's just – it's kind of like what you guys do. Like, it's just a continuation of whatever our conversations are. The backdrop is just basketball. And we get a chance to go through some of his stories and some of his experiences. And I just sit back – I mean, I get a chance to watch the team that I grew up rooting for every single game. We're going to be doing the shows from the atrium. So it's going to be a fun experience.
Yeah, y'all are just talking ball like everybody else is talking ball. You're just doing it at a much higher level.
I would hope so.
With the blazer and the turtleneck.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to clean myself up. You know, I had to.
Home opener.
This is a beautiful crowd out here, too. I was checking out the Hawks people, what, last night?
Not a beautiful crowd?
Shout out to my Hawks fans, you know, but the Bulls crew is a little bit, you know, swaggy.
Well, they come to, you know what it is.
There's
a hockey game is
beer.
A hockey game. A Bulls game is like we're out on the town.
Yes, it's a night.
Different.
Yeah,
it's different.
It's like dinner in a movie.
Yeah,
you know, Bulls in a movie, Bulls in dinner. Yeah, man.
We've seen some elite level jackets here.
Oh,
today.
You just wait.
Like the jackets have been on top.
Hey, did you see what my guy Michael Cage was wearing? By the way, I was too starstruck. I got a fist bump from Michael Cage.
He is here. Yes. Because I tweeted it the other day because we were talking.
And you saw my response.
Yeah. I got to go.
Why did Jason Goff just sound like the M&Ms in the commercial when they see Santa Claus? He is real.
Do you know what? Michael Cage. Old school.
Oh, we know.
Defender,
we know.
Rebounder.
In your grill. In your mug.
Wettest curl that the NBA had ever seen.
Look,
it wasn't like the Deion Dry curl.
Three mm-hmm. H's in this mm-hmm. Jerry curl.
Hey, listen. J-H. H-H.
Exactly.
E-R-I, though.
No, he's always here. And he's got a fedora on.
Of course. That's Michael Cage.
Looks clean.
Oh, I love the NBA.
Right?
Right? Where
else could you get excited about the reference of Michael Cage? Where else?
The reference. The actual Michael Cage was standing.
I don't believe you until I go down there.
Kendall dapped him up and everything. He shook my hand. I was like, okay.
Oh, Kendall and Michael. That's a.
They're teammates.
That's a battle. That's I know, but that's a battle of the sexy right there. Hi, John Tees, boy. Those two dudes. Kidding me? All they need now is Reggie Theus walk in.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah. There's levels to this.
That's like
not
the Rick Fox is next.
Not Hank.
Rick Fox is next.
No.
Step out.
I was in Vegas when I worked for NBA Radio with Rick Fox, and I will tell you this. I have been around a lot of different events and a lot of different people. There's a certain aura that Rick Fox moves with where you can't lock eyes with him. I don't care what your orientation is. You lock eyes with Rick Fox too long, you know what I mean? You start to, you know, like,
start
what's going on?
Start seeing things, imagining things.
Am I falling in love with this man?
Hey, remember, I saw him when he was in college. Like, we would go out in Chapel Hill, and we'd be on Franklin Street over at Players, and when he walked into Players.
You already know the time.
That's
was
that was
Players
the club.
Named after him? Hey. That's my next question.
No, that's the college age Rick Fox was.
It's certain guys, it's tough night in the club, right? Like I've been around them. You feel me? Shout out to Lance. You know, there's certain dudes that are in the city or in your area where you like Julius Peppers walk in. It's like, all right, baby, we gotta go. Because I don't want you to have to make any decisions in my face. You know what I mean? Like, nah. Rick Fox is a beautiful man, but yeah, man, Michael Cage and Kendall Gill in the same building. What more do you need? And of course, Marshall Harris.
I ain't nobody.
Listen.
Face for radio over here.
Nah,
I'm hanging out,
don't
bro.
Play these games.
I'm hanging out.
Yeah, this fake humility needs to stop.
Thank you.
They can't tell you like I can tell you.
Thank you.
You need to cut it out with this fake humility, all right?
Layla's known me over a decade.
Do I argue with Jason Goff often?
If I'm lying, I'm dying. Marshall Harris. Don't get it twisted.
I'm not even doing it.
This mild-mannered, you know what I mean?
I'm just sitting here.
Tax-paying,
yes.
Beautiful black man that he play on the radio. Scoundrel at night.
Even Jamal Collier.
Scoundrel.
Even Jamal,
you know it. You know I'm not lying. You can't be this good-looking and be on the up and up at all times.
He tries to tell me he doesn't go outside.
That's a damn lie.
No, it is 100%.
He showed me a picture of himself.
I'm immobilized. I'm in a boot right now.
It still doesn't matter.
You know what you get.
You're hurt?
You get the RSNs with that. You feel me?
The facade will crack, though. though. He showed me a picture of himself from like TV era. I forgot. We were out in Sacramento.
I think they're breaking us right now.
He points to the picture and he goes, "This guy." This guy was a problem.
Tough night. Tough night in the club.
He said this. He goes, this guy was a problem.
Hey. It was like when Larry Johnson was on the All the Smoke podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked at Matt Barnes and he saw the rayon shirt. And he had the little waist and a rayon shirt. And they were like, look at this shirt. And Larry just looked at him and goes, that's a bad MF-er, though.
Yeah.
That's a bad boy right there.
In the rayon.
Don't get it twisted. Hey, this is the wrong night to be in an argument with your girl. I'm telling everybody that's listening on the way here right now, if you make up before you pull up to the United Center tonight,
wow.
Marshall is outside. He got his snug Henley on right now, too. You feel me? The pecs, is pecking.
My favorite 1800s baseball player,
snug
by the
Henley.
Way.
Yes.
Yo, Jason Goff has sat down over here and made a mess of things.
No, I'm letting
everybody know. He told the truth.
I'm letting everybody know what time it is. Come in here on your best behavior. Make sure your girl don't stare him in the eyes. That's it. I see you, baby. If nobody's gonna big you up, I'm gonna big you
I'm
up.
I'm not that dude.
I listen to this mild mannered nonsense that you be on Monday through Friday. I know. You walk into Soho and clear it out.
Why you bring Soho into it? Check, please.
Oh man. All right.
Don't you have work to do?
Yeah, I'm about to go.
Oh, okay. All
right. That was
good
amazing.
Good to see y'all.
Dumbass.
Jason Goff, ladies and
Jason
gentlemen.
Goff. Well, Jamal Collier, follow that. He's going to join us next on Sports Radio 670, The Score.